We can only imagine the look on the face of John the Baptist. He said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me for baptism?" And when Jesus gave him his response, I wonder if the look in John's eyes changed gradually from uncomprehending to almost comprehending. Or maybe I wonder if in a few seconds of silence after Jesus answered him, John's expression transformed from the initial overjoyed enthusiasm at seeing his cousin arrive to a sudden wisdom about what this moment would mean for both of them and how their earthly lives and ministries would culminate on the way to bringing the urgent good news to a hungry and violent world. "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" And Jesus said, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." We do this, in other words, because our doing it is how this whole thing works. This is the commissioning moment of Jesus' ministry in Matthew's gospel. In Mark's gospel, some religious big shots will one day not too far in the future notice that some of Jesus' disciples are eating without having gone through the traditional ritual of hand washing. Now, that there was traditional ritual with that. I mean, for you and me, it's like, yeah, wash your hands, or do you need some hand sanitizer? But this was a religious tradition. It was a ritual, and the Pharisees at this point will ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with hands that we classify as defiled? Why do they do that?" And Jesus will say, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I've long since lost the cartoon, but 25 years ago, somebody cut out one for me. It had a little kid walking into the den at home where the dad is reading the newspaper, and the caption is what the little kid is saying. "Want to know what I learned in Sunday school today? Hypocrite." "Isaiah prophesied rightly," Jesus says, "about you hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You abandon the commandment," he said, "of God and hold to human tradition. Why do my disciples not respect a tradition that classifies some people's hands as defiled? We do this because our doing it is part of how this whole thing works." According to John's gospel, as the disciples are gathered together for the Last Supper, and Jesus is going around to wash the feet of each disciple, Peter will ask, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You're the Lord and Master. I'm the disciple. I should be washing your feet. Are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus will say, "You don't know what I'm doing right now, but later you will understand." To which Peter will respond, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus will say back, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." We do this because our doing it is how this works. That was John's gospel. In Luke's gospel, some scribes and Pharisees will ask Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" I mean, sinners okay, but and Jesus will say, those who are sick are not the ones who need a physician. No, he's not going to say that. Jesus will say, those who are well have no need of a physician. It's the ones who are sick who need a physician. I have come to call not the righteous. I've come here to call sinners to repentance. We do this because our doing of it is how this all works. But before any of those episodes would take place, according to Matthew, Jesus stands with John at the River Jordan, having come specifically for John to baptize him. And John is saying, I'm the one who needs being baptized by you. And here you are coming to me. We do it this way because this is how the whole thing works. It's a necessary part of what Jesus has come to be and to do. God said through Isaiah, here is my servant. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. And since all of us who are baptized with Jesus, in some sense, what we are here to be and do is part of what he is here to be and to do. I have given you as a covenant to the people, says Isaiah 42, a light to the nations, you, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who are in darkness. What do you suppose that means for the church? For all of Christendom, for all people of faith. But particularly, I invite you to consider, what does it mean for you? You who have been given as a light to the nations. Specifically, in a world of darkness and blindness and dungeons, a world where despair and hopelessness and addiction and apathetic numbness are so much a part of so many lives. What do you imagine God has brought you and me here to be and to do? According to Ephesians, God chose you before the foundation of the world. The Greek word for world in that sentence is cosmos. God chose you before anything we know as this universe existed. And apparently, having waited more than 13 billion years for just the right time, God brought you into being in a specific time and place and context and circumstance. What has God used in your life to shape who you are and who you are becoming? Your family, your upbringing, where you came from, what your earliest days looked and felt like, and how you grew, that period from childhood through adolescence into young adulthood that in Jesus' life is almost totally missing from everything we know about him. How has God used all of that part of your life? Or how is God using that part of your life to shape you into someone who has been given as a light to the world? Your passions, your interests, your disposition, the ways you relate to people, the things you think about yourself and how you identify yourself. If somebody you never met sat down with you and said, I want to know you. Who are you? I'm curious. Out of love, I want to know you. If you were asked to indicate what you are most comfortable thinking of as your identity, what's core to your identity? Who are you in one sentence or less? What do you think you would say? This is you. And this is your life. And you and your life are gifts that God is giving to the world. You and God, create that gift together every day. You were and you are given as a light to the world. Love one another, turn the other cheek, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies, love one another just as I have loved you, feed my sheep, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We do this because our doing it is how this whole thing works. If you are not baptized but are considering it, what do you think about what it is that you would be baptized into? And if you are baptized, what does your baptism mean to you and what you choose to do with your life? Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And when Jesus had been baptized, as he came up from the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing lightly on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." May God be well pleased with all of us, whom Jesus is not ashamed to call siblings. As with God's help, we live into the same baptism that he received at the strong and quaking hands of John the Baptist.